Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Well, I'll tell you what, I had a splendid time watching the live coverage yesterday of those guys in Stonehenge rolling the stones ahead 1 hour. It was really something to see last night. You didn't see it?
I thought you maybe would be watching the Oscars last night. The Oscars. They had those big awards out in Hollywood, which are shrinking and diminishing in audience yearly. You know, it's amazing. I used to watch the Oscars religiously. I was a big fan of the Oscars because I knew all the movies that were up for the nomination. I just looked this morning. I didn't watch last night. I looked at the list of, by the way, I think I was in the majority. I looked at the list of Oscar nominees. Mm-hmm. I only heard of one movie. The rest were like, you know, Morning Sunflower, you know, the Dragon Moon. I mean, I'm just making these titles up, but they were titles I'd never heard of. And I thought, well, where are these movies? I haven't even seen them on the marquees and then nominated for Academy Awards. But that's what Hollywood does nowadays. They don't.
You know, I've never been a fan. I grew up in California. I have never been a fan of the Oscars and all of those stupid awards because, you know, I don't, you know, when somebody does something great, that's great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it's nice to be recognized for things, but I always saw that thing as,
It's self-serving.
You know, true winners and actresses and actors don't really get their due.
Well, that's just it, Bill. Or when they first came out, I'm talking about 1938. I guess they came out originally like in 1928. But when they first came out, the movies that were nominated, everybody had seen. They were like real popular movies. And, I mean, it was a big decision. How do you pick from point A, B, and C when they're all great movies? And they were all popular, generally accepted motion pictures. But that's not the case anymore. Hollywood has become like, oh, we're above that. I mean, think about it. The Sound of Freedom. Think about this. The Sound of Freedom was a movie that was shot on a relatively low budget. It had a strong theme to it based on, you know, it was about human human trafficking, right? And right. This movie was shelved. They shot it, and they shelved it, I think, for 5 years, meaning there wasn't a distribution arm for the movie, so the movie just sat there. It just sat on a shelf collecting dust. They finally bought the rights back, Angel Studios, and they released it, and it found an audience by itself, and it grew, and it grew. And last year, it was probably the biggest surprise of Hollywood. I mean, forget Barbie and stuff like that. Those movies, they had barrels and barrels of money thrown at promotion, where Sound of Freedom had nothing. It was word of mouth, and yet Sound of Freedom was one of the biggest grossing movies of the year. So you would have thought maybe there would have been some recognition for this really good movie, and it was really good.
Right.
It got nothing. It got no recognition. It wasn't even. It didn't even win like best choreography in some strange category. It didn't win like best lighting. You know,
unless you're in the circle, you're not going to get anything. You might get the token nomination.
Yeah,
but no, the fix is in before you ever see the thing happen. It's a done deal. I realized that when I used to program in country and I was a member. On the CMA, and we had all the elections for stuff. And I thought, well, I thought I was, you know, there was something, you know.
Yeah.
I had a big station and everything. But then I realized everything was all political. Oh. And I was going, oh,
yep.
You know. And so I, you know, and it's like that in rock. It's like that in every genre. It is, you know, like that in the movies.
Bill,
it is crap.
I was thinking about when this all started. To give you an idea of how much I've been watching the Oscars over the years, I can remember seeing live, I think it was when did The Godfather come out? About 1975 or so, right? It's when Marlon Brando won the Best Actor Award, and he didn't show up at the Oscars. She was dressed in an Indian costume, and they said she, and the announcers said, in serious tones of voice. Well, you know, this is an American Indian so-and-so representing Marlon Brando. She went up there and gave a speech about something. I forgot, you know, the oppression of something. And then Hollywood applauded dutifully, and it was the talk of the town. And that's when the political nonsense started to infect these awards. And they went from being, you know, entertaining to being social platforms. Then come to find out over the years, I think she passed away recently, that American Indian. She was not an American Indian. That was a ruse, okay? She went up there looking like an American Indian, but I got to tell you, it's Hollywood. They can make anybody look like anybody, right? And here we were being told for years that she was up there representing Marlon Brando and she was a Native American, and she wasn't. But, you know, so a lot of people, you know, even the Best Picture yesterday, I have not seen it yet, but I know the story. It's Oppenheimer. And it's about a guy who literally helps to create the atomic bomb. He was a genius. He was, you know, really ahead of his time as far as thinking, you know. And I guess in real life, I guess he was sorry for having created it.
Oh, he had doubts about it. And
look, that's okay. That's fine. But, you know, Hollywood's up there. I think they had yesterday, and I could be wrong, but I think I read this morning where they had a survivor from Hiroshima accepting the award or something like that, or somebody making a comment. I thought, you know, please, you know, just give it's a movie. It's a movie. Hand them the trophy, have a good day, and move on to the next item. You know, they also had John Cena, the wrestler. And the actor,
John Cena?
Yeah, Cena, whatever. They had him go out there, essentially naked. Yeah, he was naked for best costume. It was, you know, that's cute. He goes out there and he has a place card over his groin. And
all I can tell you, they say, yeah, he was covering up his cojones. You know, I am not going to go walk out in front of a crowd with a place card.
By the way, he has a terrific build. He has an enviable physique.
Well. Yeah, well, what you could see was terrific. I'm sure that,
That's true. The card was small.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there going, that's why I was saying I wouldn't go out with a place card because I'm not sitting there trying to brag about anything, but I'm just saying you only do that if you got nothing to hide, and I mean literally nothing
yes,
to hide.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
Because a sneeze and a drop and woohoo!
That's
you know.
True. A stiff breeze and you're in trouble.
Well, if a stiff breeze and you're not in trouble, then
then you're in trouble. Yeah. Oh my gosh!
And the women are sitting there going,
you know. But and it was like someone wrote this morning. It was an all-time low for Hollywood. You know, they stooped, and it wasn't really that much of a low. I mean, I've seen
Hollywood
dumber
things.
Hollywood
is an all-time low. Yeah. I mean, and look what they produced. Politically. Oh, yeah, his name's Adam Schiff, which, by the way, he looks very unhealthy because his body looks like he's in shape. But if you look at his face,
he's
ballooned.
He was interviewed over the weekend.
Yes.
And he said this. Listen.
Congressman, let me ask you about this development this weekend. U.S. intelligence officials are planning to provide briefings for Donald Trump if he officially secures the nomination, despite the fact that he's facing 40 felony charges for his handling of classified documents. As the former chair of the House Intelligence Committee, do you think it's appropriate for him to receive intelligence briefings?
Well, that is the practice, but we've never had a situation where one of the candidates for president has been so criminally negligent when it comes to handling, if not worse, when it comes to handling classified information. So I have to hope, and knowing the intelligence community as I do, that they will dumb down the briefing for Donald Trump. That is, they will give him no more information than absolutely necessary, nothing that would reveal sources or methods, because we can't trust that he will do the right thing with that information. He's been so reckless. So, yes, it does concern me. It is part of a long tradition. They will be wary of what they share with him.
I mean, she asked Adam Schiff, the biggest liar.
I was going to say, this answer from an idiot that lies. He wrote,
yeah.
You know.
What happened to innocent until proven guilty? You know?
Well, that's my other point is, you know, all these things are cast upon Trump. Well, one of my, you know, a good friend, you know, he's a lefty out in California. He posted a meme today, you know, that's it's got all these little bright green and yellow and red frogs. And saying, you know, in nature, mm-hmm. reptiles turn bright colors to warn those around them that they're venomous. And then he posts the picture of an orange Donald Trump. Number one. Donald Trump was never orange, never has been, doesn't wear orange makeup. That was Photoshop, and they floated around, and it's even been called out. So for that post to happen, you know, and he goes, oh, come on, it's funny. Sorry, it's offensive, and it's a lie.
Yeah.
It is a lie that Trump committed a crime. As a matter of fact, Liz Cheney called out on the simple fact on the January 6th committee in getting everything ready. She helped suppress information. And I think I sent you an email with the link where she goes, oh, he did all this and this and this and this. And then he refused to give help. No, actually, you suppressed that, Miss Cheney.
Yeah.
He actually called for 10,000 National Guard to be there, but Miss Pelosi said we don't need it because we already got something planned.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not surprised by Schiff's remark because, and by the way she set it up.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah.
Kirsten. I think it was Kirsten Welker. She sets it up like, can you imagine we're going to give this man intelligence briefings? My God, he's you know, he has like 40 different felonies again. I'm just making it up.
Yeah, they're counting the felonies.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're going to make him guilty by accusation.
Yeah.
If you tell a lie enough, it becomes the truth. Because I don't mean this to you listening right now, but as a whole, people are stupid.
Yeah. Well,
they don't pay attention to the world around them. And when they don't, bad things happen. I mean, what's going on here with news and politics and the economy and the failures of the Biden administration? It's like the French Revolution. I'm sure you'd go off on that. I'm not a historian. You are.
Schiff is not alone, okay? John Brennan, you know, former CIA director, who is another piece of work, who I truly believe if we have an honest government, when Trump gets into office, one that believes in justice, he's going to have some problems because he's been one of these people who has been using the justice system as a weapon, in my opinion. But anyway, they asked the same question to Brennan, I think on Friday.
I have to start with the news today with you, Director Brennan, that some version of our intelligence analysis will, there's a plan for Trump to start getting that while he's under criminal prosecution for mishandling classified documents. Will you explain what this is and what you think is likely to happen?
Anna Nicole, it's somewhat surreal that an individual who is under indictment for mishandling classified information is going to be getting classified intelligence briefings. But this traditionally is provided to the candidates for president by the sitting president. And so therefore, I think it makes sense for the Biden administration to offer that to Donald Trump. Now, I'm pretty certain that my former intelligence colleagues will provide briefings that are not going to do any type of damage to sources and methods. In terms of providing information to Donald Trump that he could misuse. But they will provide analytic overviews and briefings about some of the world's hotspots, letting Donald Trump know what the assessments are at this point. So I think it's going to be analysis that will be devoid of the sources and methods, the sensitive things that we are most concerned about, the types of things that were in all those documents that he had in the bathroom and other areas in Mar-a-Lago. But I do think it makes sense. Now, it's a question about whether or not Donald Trump will accept the briefings, and I'm sure that if he does accept them, he probably will disparage them, as he has disparaged U.S. intelligence officers as well as U.S. intelligence itself for so long, over so many years.
Unbelievable. First of all, get used to this. Get used to this, because this is going to go on from now until the election. They're going to belittle him every week. They're going to talk about, oh, he's been charged with, oh, he's been indicted with, oh, he's been found guilty of. Wait, there's more, Bill. There's more.
Okay, because I have a...
All right, go ahead. No, you do your thing,
well,
and I'll play
Well, no, okay, I'll keep it short. But, you know, over the weekend, they started... They've continued piling on against Trump, and it's going to get more and more and more. It's the same old song and dance. And then on the other hand, they're you know, oh, Biden's come out with an agenda, his plan now of what he's going to do for you.
Oh.
And, you know, in the coming year,
we know
he's back
do.
In. He's spending $442 billion on improving roads, railways, air safety, gun, or make it green new initiative, and more. He's going to do all that. He's spent $442 billion so far. Have you seen it? Have you driven on it?
I got another thing.
Is it going to spend more?
In a few minutes about Biden that'll drive you nuts. But I want to play this. This is Nancy Mace. You know, she's the representative, smart lady. She was being interviewed yesterday, and Nancy Mace is a young woman who had been raped when she was younger. Besides, you know, and she was embarrassed by it. She kept it a secret for a long time. But George Stephanopoulos was the interviewer here, and I want you to hear how he approaches her. I'm not going to play the whole cut because the whole cut is 9 minutes and 51 seconds. But I'm going to play a decent chunk of it. Listen.
This is why women do not come forward. They are afraid.
Congressman, thanks for joining us this morning. You've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not gonna do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump. No, you are shaming
me. You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
It makes it harder for women to come forward when other women joke about it,
and she's joked about it. I find it offensive, and I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame you.
You are.
Well, in fact,
I have dealt with this for 30 years. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward.
I'm just asking.
No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
Judged and they're shamed. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I think it's
disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all.
I told my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
You're shaming me for my political choices.
I'm asking you a question about why you endorse someone who's been found liable for rape.
It was a civil court. And by the way, she joked about the judgment and what she was going to do with all that money. And I find that offensive.
I'm asking you
but
about
as
the man
a rape victim who's been shamed for years now because of her rape, you're trying to shame me again by asking me this political question.
You've repeated that again.
I think
again
it's
and
offensive.
Again.
As a woman, I find it offensive.
My
political choices. I've endorsed the man that I believe is best for our country. It's not Joe Biden. And you looked at the dueling rallies yesterday in Georgia. Lakin Riley's family was with Donald Trump. They weren't with Joe Biden. The same guy yesterday that apologized for calling her killer an illegal, who wasn't illegal. And here you are trying to shame a rape victim. I find it disgusting.
I mean, you keep saying I'm shaming you.
It is.
How is the question asking about a presidential candidate who's
been raped? You're asking a rape victim.
And there's no question about that. And you courageously talked about
that. Because I've been raped. I think that's just
no. I'm questioning your political choices because you're supporting
me. You're
someone who's been found liable.
He's an idiot.
And he goes on and it goes on.
He is an idiot.
He really is. He didn't stop there. He actually brought up a clip. He said, "Well, you said you'd never vote for him again on January 6th, and all of a sudden you're backing him now." And I thought to myself, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since January 6th of 2021, and there's been a lot of information that's come out, George, and people have a right to reevaluate their situation. They don't have to just say, well, I said it in 2021, and that's it. But this guy is offensive. Number one,
he's never dealt with rape. He doesn't know what it is. He's George Stephanopoulos. He is the king of the media, you know, and doing interviews, you know. Look at his background and his reputation. He's never dealt with it himself personally or had a family member that did it. And in defense of the young lady there, you know, talking about the accusers of Trump,
mm-hmm.
and these were really kind of political judgments against him, they had no shame. There was no shame at all. A rape victim, a real rape victim, feels shame. They do not, and they're shamed by their family. They're shamed by their surroundings. They're shamed by policies, politics, society, and even you, George Stephanopoulos. You shamed her too.
Yeah.
Just by presenting that the way that you did. I know what a rape victim goes through because my daughter was raped.
Yeah.
And the gentleman that did it heinously, that I'm not going to go into details, he walks the streets.
Well, now, you know, I would submit, Bill, that there are probably more rapists walking the street than people could even imagine. Because for the longest time in our society, it wasn't considered rape. It was kind of like, hey, did you score last night? I mean, some of these guys, it was a different environment. Do you know what I'm saying? And it was rape. It was rape. Yeah. It was not consensual sex. It was not sex with love and affection. It was a brutal act of violence. And that's the difference.
Now, I will defend some people on this that are on the other side of the fence saying that there have been women that have, you know, they don't like somebody. They have used it as a, you know, you yelled at me. That's rape.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they used it as a weapon, Bill.
Yeah, they use it as a weapon. But in the fact of the matter is the people that use things as a weapon or say things that happened to them when it really didn't play out that way, they have no guilt. They have no shame.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you look at E. Jean Carroll, she laughs at it and makes a joke of it. But you look at her old videos and things that she's done, she's anything but a saint.
She thought it was playtime. She thought it was fun.
And he didn't participate, so she's going to get money for that now.
And what she said, by the way, Nancy Mace said, was so true. It was a civil, not a criminal case. It was a civil case, which has much looser requirements.
Very lenient. Yeah, you don't have to be guilty of it. You just have to be accused of it and have enough people to say, well, it's a possibility.
And by the way, he's appealing it. And I want to know, where do you go to get your reputation, right, after you've had it damaged like guys like Stephanopoulos? They're making hay while the sun shines. It's true.
It's
making
mental
hay.
Rape. It's character rape. Character and mental rape. It's just like the meme that I pointed out there. You know, and lefties like to do that, and that tells me that
Staged judges, they have staged lawyers. I mean, they have all these actors, and they have this ridiculous verdicts. These nonsensical verdicts come down, and then idiots, morons, evil so-and-sos like George Stephanopoulos coming out and waving the banner. Like he was arrested and charged. He's guilty. He's guilty. No. Let it work itself out. Let's see how guilty he is. And by the way, thank God, the people in this country, they know what the left is doing to Donald Trump. And by the way, it's going to get worse throughout the next eight months or so, Bill.
I'm seeing something evil take place, and it's not something that I've mentioned before, because the tide is rolling in the favor of Donald Trump, no matter what you throw at him. And I think the more that they throw at him, the more that wave is going to build up and be big. But I think that there's a play that the Democrats are doing. They know that if they want to, for no just cause, they can grab him, snatch him up, lock him up, and prevent him from taking office in the White House. They're rattling all these sabers to keep, you know, the media going, the people going. But I think, because right now, when you think about it, we want Trump. There is no plan B. It's Trump or nothing.
Yeah.
And they're going to see to it that they wait until the last minute to snatch him up. And he's even warned about that, to where we get nothing.
Here's what we know. We know that even in jail, he can be elected president.
Well, I think they're working on that
you can't change the rules of the game after the game started. You know what I'm saying? They may change it so that in the future you can't do this, but as far as Donald Trump is concerned, they can't change the rules now. This is the way it is. If the people vote him in, and I think he's going to get voted in big time. They had mixed martial arts thing down in Miami yesterday, and the crowd went nuts. Biden had a rally.
Oh yeah,
and nobody showed up.
Yeah, there you go. And that should tell everybody something. But I think what's going to happen, because they're really pushing for the Congress, that they want to take it over again. And I think what happened in California last week with that one election, where people saw the votes flip right away in favor of Schiff, they just shifted. Shifty Schiff had
shift his way
overnight.
We didn't talk about that, Bill. That's a very good thing to bring up. You got to see this, folks. It's online. If you go, I think, to the Gateway Pundit and go back a few pages, they have a story about it where they had on
somebody
the screen.
Somebody was filming it.
And by the way, you saw this, Bill.
I actually saw it in Trump's case,
right, in 2020?
Yes, I did. Well, yeah, I saw it for the Pennsylvania numbers.
Yeah.
When there was about an 800,000 person.
Yes, it was huge.
It
was 10:30 at night.
I was like, whoa. And then I had to sit there. I didn't pinch myself, but I had to go, am I dreaming this? And then I looked around, got up, got something to drink at the time.
That can't be right.
At the time, I still drank Cokes, and I went and got a Coke. Said, I got to have a drink on this.
Yeah.
And I don't drink that stuff anymore. I don't do anything bad. But I couldn't believe it, and I was so frustrated and mad. And Pennsylvania is not a blue state like people say, but the steel is in place. And it's right down south of me in the heart of Philadelphia. It is corrupt as all hell. Even the people I know there, Democrats, this isn't right.
So you saw the numbers flip on camera, on the screen, from a pretty substantial Trump lead to he was losing. So cut to, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago or last week in California. Same kind of a slide. Schiff is losing to Steve Garvey.
Big time.
Yep. And suddenly, in one fell swoop on camera, it flips.
Yeah, they'll call it a data dump. You can explain it any way you want to. But all of a sudden, counting the ballots, and they come in and they just do a massive flip, doesn't really happen
How do you lose votes,
Bill?
Well,
we got a mail truck in of all the write-in ballots. Estimate it?
How do you lose votes? How do you lose? If you had, I can see if they had a dump and you suddenly were behind, but you kept your numbers. But what happened in both cases here is Steve Garvey went from a larger number than Adam Schiff to being down, you know, like, let's say, and I haven't got the figures in front of me. Let's say he had 1,000,005 votes and Schiff may have had 900,000. And all of a sudden, in one fell swoop, Garvey had 900,000 and Schiff had 2,000,000. How do you lose votes?
They miscounted the votes, so they had to switch them, you know.
Unbelievable. See, this
they audited right there. It's on-the-fly auditing, you know, for over 1,000,000
votes. This is the thing that I worry about in 2024. Now, here's on the positive end. We have Laura Trump now as a co-chairman of the Republican Party, and she said from day one, beginning today, they're putting systems in place to make the voter count much more reliable than it was in 2020. I don't know how she's going to do that.
Well, I'm happy she's there, but, you know, you could see, and it's not because of her, it's because of the rhinos like the Romneys of the world. Well, I'm not going to vote for Trump, you know.
Yeah,
I'll vote for Kennedy. I'll vote for somebody, but I won't vote for him. Or I just might not vote, you know. But then he's working in the background, going, "Okay, well, he's got a vendetta right now."
Yeah,
and they're trying to urge donors, do not, you know, send your money to the RNC. Let me tell you something, friends. The RNC, they dog you every day. Well, this is Donald, you know, and they send all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not Donald that's doing it. It's not all the politicians.
I get them every day.
I get the things from Adam Schiff every day. He's not doing it either. It's the damn party that's doing it, and they're going to take that money and spend it the way they want to.
Right.
At least you've got a chance that the Republican Party, under the new direction, will at least put the money out there appropriately. But, you know, do not listen to the whining rhinos and, you know, the damn rats, because they're going to sit there, but don't donate to Republicans because we're the thieves over here. You know,
there was a time I was going to vote for Mitt Romney. I was excited about the guy. And I realized, based upon recent history, that the guy is an egotistical, vindictive kind of a guy. You know, he may come across as being soft-spoken and mild-mannered, but he's anything but. By the way, I keep seeing the image now of him running in the Black Lives Matter rally. I guess I say running, marching in the Black Lives Matter rally in New York, I believe it was. And he's supporting Black Lives Matter. And I'm thinking, he no more relates to Black Lives Matter than the man in the moon.
Well, he thinks because he was... I don't know why he went to New York. I think he thinks that New York is a New England state because he was governor of Massachusetts. I got news for you. You know,
Mitt.
Rear end wipe. The simple fact is, Mittney boy.
Mitten.
It's not a New England state. As a matter of fact, there's a little bit of water that separates you guys and a whole different culture. I'm not sitting there saying it might not be it. That it's not democratic like down in and see, I don't even know that Massachusetts is really that Democrat. I mean, I think they got a system in place in Massachusetts
that controls the vote. I think it's corrupt and has been, by the way, for decades. But that's for another time. I say that because I used to live in Massachusetts. I grew up in Massachusetts, and my dad was involved in politics in Massachusetts. And I'll just leave it at that. He was a good guy. My dad was an honest, good guy, but boy, he met some interesting characters.
Well, characters is what they are, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Biden was being interviewed over the weekend, and I thought you'd like to hear what he said. Listen to this.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Unbelievable. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here.
Undocumented.
But the part of this that drives me friggin' nuts, besides the fact that he apologizes to a killer, that drives me nuts, but he says, look, they built the country.
How did they do that?
In what realm, in what life did the illegals build the country? He said it with such conviction. Look, they built the country. This guy's delusional.
Well, when you look at an undocumented person, that goes back before we had a lot of records that, of people, birth records and things like that, of people that were born here in the United States, all right? And you know, there was no documentation of them. They're undocumented this, undocumented that. These people are undocumented because they came across the border
illegally.
Yeah. And there is no documentation except for the people that flew them in.
Yeah.
And
even that documentation is probably fraudulent. You know, they had phony names.
Yeah, it's all crap. So they're Joe Biden is like he's that $442 billion he spent thus far, and I haven't seen it in the roads, the air, anywhere else, or the Green New Deal that's fallen apart.
He's a liar.
He's a liar, but you know what? He believes to build back better, you got to tear it down first.
Hey.
So he's tearing it down so he can go, well, Trump screwed it up. You know, I had a thought over the weekend. I was just going to say, you know, when Hillary was running and they said she was going to get it, she was ready to party and everything like that, Trump overwhelmed the system and caught him off guard. And he got into the office, much to the chagrin of the power brokers of the left and to Hillary herself. She thought it was hers. She was promised it was hers. Well, who could promise an election? But she was promised it was her. But just think, had she gotten in, and this would be her second term, where would this country be right now?
Oh, my God.
If Donald Trump hadn't come in for that 4 years, even under all the pressure he did, if you look back and go, things were actually pretty good under Donald Trump. Now they're bad again because Biden's in. Think about that before you sit there and cast your ballot.
Before the show started, I said to you, I saw a movie, a really good movie. I recommend it, called Hunter Killer, if you like action.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Suspense.
I saw it.
Yeah. It stars Gerard Butler, and it's just a really good movie. And I was watching, and I was thinking, wait a second, this came out in 2018, but what people don't realize is there's a long preparation process when you make a movie. They started principal photography in July of 2016 on this movie. That means the camera started to roll on scenes for this movie in July of 2016. But what people don't realize is another year and a half or 2 years of preparation, getting studios ready, getting costumes ready, getting sets built. All this stuff is done before they start shooting the movie, okay? And the reason why I mention that is because in the movie, right, the president of the United States is this late middle-aged or senior citizen, a woman, blondish hair, a little stocky, and she's the president of the United States. And I was thinking, Hollywood took a hopeful gamble. I say hopeful because they wanted this to happen. They figured, oh, Hillary's running, so it looks like she's going to win, so let's have our president reflect her in the movie. It'll look so contemporary. It'll work,
yeah.
Right? Well, they miscalculated. That was the only thing in the movie that stuck out. Go ahead.
Hollywood has done it a lot. If you're a Star Trekkie, you probably remember Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah.
There was one particular episode.
Oh, yes.
Where Picard was talking about the starship cruiser, the Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Also, I think you're going to talk about the President of the Universe.
Well, no, that's the next thing. But see, they are programming you to what the elite want. So
I can't remember who's it in from Georgia. You know what I'm talking about. Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams in the movie, in the TV show. She was,
you know,
they introduced the president of the galaxy is here. The universal president is here. And they open the door and there's Stacey Abrams in costume. And I thought,
she's the president of the universe. Well, you know, there was talk about her running for president. Don't even be surprised if somewhere, you know, because they've had her in the background, and she goes, oh, I'm going back to private life. That never really
They still
happens.
Complain about the fact that Trump says that he won 2020, and I do think he did. But
well,
Stacey,
you know,
Abrams has been saying she won the governorship in 2016 for all these years.
Well, does she have that right to that opinion?
Absolutely. But the Democrats don't think Trump has the right.
Well, see, that's the difference, and we don't have the right.
Right.
We're election deniers.
Absolutely.
Well, we're denying conspiracy it because theorists. Of things like the overnight data switches on all the elections and everything. So, yeah, you know, I got a problem with all of this, and please tell me how those numbers switched in all of that, because I don't think you can.
You know, Trump was doing a rally. He talked about the apology that Biden made to the terrorist, to the murderer.
Moments ago, I don't know if you heard because you've all been waiting online for 2 days. But just moments ago, this was just before coming up, they just told me prior to what I'm doing right now that Joe Biden went on television and apologized for calling Lincoln's murderer an illegal. He didn't want to call him illegal. He's apologizing. He said he should have called him an undocumented, not an illegal, and he wanted to apologize. He wanted to apologize, and, well, they have a new name, too. They have a new name that's even worse. They have a new name. You know what the new name is? Neighbor. They want to call him Neighbor. They want to call him another name. Did you ever hear the other one? Newcomer. A newcomer to our country. Are we going crazy or what? Is this country going crazy? How about that one? Newcomer. The newcomer. No, he was illegal. And I say he was an illegal alien. He was an illegal immigrant. He was an illegal migrant. And he shouldn't have been in our country. And he never would have been under the Trump policy. And Biden should be apologizing for apologizing to this killer.
Unbelievable, you know. And again, they had dueling rallies, Bill, and his rally was packed to the ceilings. They were outside. They were just, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. And how did Biden do?
Biden's rally, seriously, they showed the queue, you know, and there was nobody in it.
Well, I'd like to apologize to Joe Biden because.
About what?
Well, he's undocumented, too, actually.
Uh-huh.
An undocumented idiot. I mean, it's unraveling before our eyes, but he is an undocumented idiot. But
yeah,
we're lucky. It's going to be documented as so, you know?
He is, I want to say he's delusional. You know, it's almost like, that's almost like a cop-out. I mean, it's almost like a cop-out. We have a tendency to almost give him an out. Well, you know, he's older and he's not thinking clearly. But, you know, he sat for that interview, and he was pretty lucid, and he wanted to clarify things, and he said that this guy, he should have called him undocumented. You know, they should have called him a murderer. By the way, I don't know whether you realize this or not, but Lincoln Riley's parents met with President Trump. President Trump, I'm not sure whether he visited their house or they visited him, but they visited each other. President Trump gave them a lot of moral support. He told them that she did not die in vain, that good things will come from this, even though it's hard to imagine right now, you know, in this terribly dark and sad time. But Trump was consoling. He was, you know, and people don't realize this. You know, they see him do his rallies, and he's entertaining, and he makes a lot of jokes and stuff like that and irritates a lot of people on the left. But people who know President Trump will tell you that he's a very compassionate guy. He's a very, very warm gentleman. He is not garrulous and gaudy like a lot of left people try to sell him. You know, he's a real genuine, kind guy who, by the way, is getting screwed every single day by the people on the left. But the thing is, he's the guy who visited Lake and Riley's family, and Biden couldn't, he had to be shamed in public to even mention her name, and even doing that, he mispronounced the name. He said the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Bill, it's like we live in this weird world right now where they're trying to tell you that Biden is so great. and everything he does is evil or un-American. I mean, the guy who killed Lakin Riley is a cold-blooded, vicious animal, a murderer who doesn't deserve any kindness from us. This guy, by the way, he should never have been in a situation to murder her because they had already arrested him for, I believe, thievery, and they let him go. So this guy is a bad, bad guy. And Biden, by the way, is complicit because he allowed him in the country, and then he supported him in public by apologizing to him. You know?
It's not good. Look, we're on the cusp of something very bad happening. I'm not a historian, but it's starting to look, you know, with everything that's going on, like the French Revolution all over again. I'm sure you could expound on that because you're pretty up on all the history of everything. But I'm kind of concerned, too, with a lot of things I see going on. Hakeem Jeffries on the Biden border crisis, he says, invasion's not a word I would use. It's a damn invasion, Hakeem. Get over it. I'm also looking at...
Bill, they're hung up on words. These people are hung up on friggin' words.
It's a word game. It's linguistics. Democrats have always used linguistics. If you don't understand linguistics, I encourage you to study linguistics, and it's not a hard thing to do. It's something you can do in... You know, just to get an
understanding. Words are powerful tools. They know it.
Yeah, it is, and that's what they're doing. California, a woman, 96, she was, you know, preparing cookies for her birthday, and she was murdered by some pretty, and it looks like these people are, could be illegals here, but anyway, she was just... You know, heinously murdered.
Hey, a little four-year-old girl recently was murdered by an illegal.
Yep. And then you've got, the story down in Florida. Now, see, I'm not saying racial tensions are gone with, but they've eased up. We as a society, we live, we learn, we grow. And I think as a whole, people, white and black, get along.
Absolutely.
There are differences, but we're getting along. But it's really blown up since Biden took in. You go down in Florida on spring break there, but
you know, fighting
on the beach.
You know what they're afraid of, though, Bill? Right now, Trump is growing almost on a daily basis the minority vote. He's getting people to support him who've never supported him. I believe I heard the number was 20% of the black vote is on Trump's side of the ledger right now, and that's a first. I think the highest they ever got was like 13%. So they're starting to wake up, and people, you know, these people are smart people. You know, they're also working people who spend a lot of time trying to feed their families and not paying attention to politics. But you have to nowadays. It's much more obvious. You know, you have to pay attention to what's going on. Go ahead, Bill. You had.
Well, I was going to say there's another story of a young lady down in St. Louis, mm-hmm. beaten by a mob, and this was kind of racial there. But
every one of these things, Bill, that happens, every robbery that takes place. Look at the cop in New York. The two cops in New York who were attacked in the transit. They were transit authority police. They were attacked in the subway system by about five or six illegals. And by the way, they were arrested and then released. You know, arrested and released? What is going on in New York? Wake up, New York. You're destroying yourself. I mean, they have these Venezuelan street mobs riding around on stolen bicycles in Times Square, scaring the hell out of tourists. You know, the tourist business has got to be going down the toilet in New York. Why the heck would you want to go visit a lawless city? You know, a city where you might get mugged or even worse. That's what's happening in these cities right now. St. Louis, there was a young girl that was beaten on the streets.
That's what I just talked about.
Yeah, the one that had her head bashed.
Brain injury and everything. If you look at the video.
Yeah.
You're going to get mad, and it's going to stir up racial emotions. And you know what I
the press, really, by the way, Bill, the press won't tell you she's illegal. The press will hide that from people.
No, and that's the problem. And, you know, the people around that were sitting there either getting another brawls or, you know, like somebody trying to jump in and stop it, you know, was pulled back by somebody. No. You see something like that, you should intervene. Now, I'm saying don't get in a fight, but, you know, you get something there. You don't let somebody be beaten senseless.
And stop using. Some people will spend the whole time videotaping it with their camera.
Put your damn phone down and do something. Or use that phone and say, got a 911 emergency. Yeah, I've got a 911 emergency. You know,
someone's being murdered on the street in, you know, and
there'll be a cop there in no time. Now, if the cop stands there and lets it happen, then that cop ought to lose
videotape,
his badge.
Videotape that if that happens.
Yeah, videotape that. That's what you videotape. The law not doing it. The January 6th political hostage, Ryan Samsel, and Jake Lang moved to gang units in same jail system where Epstein was killed. Well, apparently, the DOJ set them up to be stabbed and beaten.
Yeah, listen to this. This is an important story that nobody's talking about. These are two January 6th people who were arrested. I believe they had been in the Washington jail. They moved them to the same federal lockup in New York City that Epstein was in, where he supposedly hung himself. But people who are in the know, including medical examiners, have said, no, he didn't hang himself. The ligature marks on his, he was strangled, he was murdered. But people...
Who runs the DOJ?
Well, Merrick Garland, for one thing, and then above him is Joe Biden.
Yeah, and it's the DOJ that's doing this and making this move. So you got two murderers there. These guys, now, number one, it's never really been declared an insurrection, hey, except for the Sixth Committee, but it's not. And,
Jeffrey Epstein, do you ever find out whatever happened? You know, his guard left his post just to go get something and left him unattended. He was on suicide watch, supposedly.
Yeah, and you don't leave somebody unattended.
Did you hear anything? Did anything happen to the guard?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. It's like, well, hello. Is anybody home?
I had to go to the bathroom. There was no one in the back mill. You expect me to go right there? You know, hey.
You know, Jeffrey Epstein had a roommate, and they took him out like shortly before he was found dead?
Yeah. Well, you know.
You can't have witnesses.
I don't want to accuse the guard of anything. Maybe he wasn't. You know, maybe he had to leave, you know, so some thugs can come in there. But where they, you know, they're taking a lot of these January 6 people before trials and just putting them in with known mean.
Awful. It's terrible, awful. Bill. This is. Yeah. This is un-American. This is criminal.
You know why they're doing it?
They get rid of witnesses.
That's right. Because now, if things change and evidence turns, like down in Georgia and everywhere else, even with the Liz Cheney, you know, lying on camera about the old Trump never did anything. No, he called for 10,000 National Guard.
Did you hear up in I think it's Michigan? Mm-hmm. There's a prosecutor a sheriff who is investigating the fraudulent 2020 elections. He's uncovered some new evidence that is, I guess, irrefutable in his mind. You know, sheriffs have a lot of power. People don't realize this, but sheriffs have, they're almost autonomous. They can't be really replaced by a governor or something like that. It's like once you're a sheriff and you're in place, for the most part, you are, you're untouchable. And this sheriff says, I found new evidence, and I'm going after, and I'm going to find out where this goes. And I'm thinking to myself, heck, it's almost 2024. Pardon?
He won't live long.
Well, that could be, too.
His wheels will fall off his car as he's rounding a corner by a cliff, you know.
Hey,
the mechanic didn't tighten those lug nuts down.
You know, during that rally over the weekend, Trump had this to say about Biden's speech.
He should not be shouting angrily at America. America should be shouting angrily at Joe Biden.
And we should be saying, Crooked Joe, you're fired. Get out of here. You're fired. You're incompetent. You're incompetent. Get out of here. You're destroying our nation. Get the hell out of here. You're destroying our country, Joe. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know he's destroying it. He has no clue.
I think actually the scary thing is I think he has more of a clue than you think. I think he is very aware of the fact that he's doing what he's doing. I mean, he said it. He said it during the debates that he was going to open the borders, and he's doing it, and he's proud of it. He calls them undocumented. He never should have called them illegals.
You know, Joe plagiarized himself in that.
I saw that. Yeah, we talked about that on Friday. He plagiarized two of his speeches. 2022
All three are the same speech, but you know, the Democrats are out there selling all the goodness of this. It was the greatest speech ever. You should have known this speech. You've heard it before, and before that, or has your memory failed you not once but twice? You're as bad as Joe Biden.
Yep. We actually, if it sounded familiar, like Bill said, it's because we've heard the same speech verbatim.
It was not like it was close to.
I heard a comparison of side by side, and he said the same thing. We played it on our show on Friday. Nobody
watched the first year, so they did it again the second year. Nobody watched, and they did it again the third year. And the couple of people that did said, "Hey, you know, there's something funny about this. They're all the same, and it's kind of bad." Did you hear about New York City? They're hunting down the firefighters who booed Letitia. They want to know who they are. They're looking at video to single them out. Well, they're not going to do anything to them. They're just going to give them a stern warning. Then why are you hunting them down?
Yeah. Why? Why? Because you have they have a difference of opinion and they're voicing their American opinion?
Well, you did it on company time.
Well, I'm sorry.
Was it company time?
Are you supposed to applaud her? Is that what you're supposed to do? Okay to applaud her, but don't boo her.
So if Laura Trump came in there to give a speech and they're on Trump company time and Democrats yell and boo her, are they going to hunt them down?
No. That's okay. That's
Tommy Willis. We should get a ruling on her this week. And there's more evidence against her that came out.
Well, you know, I'm like you. I'm kind of hopeful that this judge does the right thing because he seemed like an honest guy. But I've been disappointed so many times by the judicial system recently that I'm not 100%. There was a time, Bill, that I would say to you, nah, she's going to jail. You know, all the evidence points to her misappropriation of funds and lying in court, perjury, all these things. She's just done so much damage to herself that she's going to go to jail. But nowadays, the way the system is running, it isn't all about justice, is it?
No, it's not. And she's up for election again. So, you know, is she using the weight of all this stuff to sit there and bolster her popularity with, you know, the certain people to sit there and try to? I think if she wins it, it's a stolen election. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So leave it at that. But I think I'm going to do some continuing education for the next few weeks for as long as it takes because I've decided that I'm going to become a nurse.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going to move to New York City and try to get a state nursing job.
Why is that?
Because their budget, $500,000 a year for a nurse for the state.
Say what? Yeah, I'm in the wrong business. You mean... Well, what if you have to be qualified, and I think that's a little bit of a hang-up right now because I don't believe you have any nursing credits.
Well, that's why I said I'll have to go and, you know, get some credits and stuff like that. But, you know, you do mention something, too. They're probably doing this astronomical figure because they don't have qualified people.
I wonder if they'll pay for your education.
Well, if you're an illegal alien, yes, they
will.
Well,
that's true, too.
The job training.
Hey, you know what they're doing, I heard? They're taking minority children in New York, and they're saying, you're going to stay home, and you're going to use your computer, and you're going to Zoom your lessons, okay?
Yeah,
in the meantime,
like that's going to work.
And the reason why we're doing that is we're letting the undocumented illegals use your desk. We're going to have illegals in the school while the kids who should be in the school, whose parents pay taxes, are home using their computer to Zoom the lessons. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. You know, I had a thought here, and it's just a quick thought, but, you know, I was looking at how Republicans respond to things, and we don't really do all the nasty memes and stuff. They might sit there and say our show is hate speech and everything like that, but we do run a pretty prim and proper show.
Right.
And most of the people that are on the right do that. There's a few radicals out there, but for the most part, we keep it civil.
Yes.
Democrats, on the other hand, they got a meme.
They throw the F bomb around.
But they got a meme machine, too, that every liberal you know is throwing negative stuff out there. Ha ha, that's so funny. It's not true, but it's funny.
It's very hateful stuff, actually. It really is.
It's really hateful, mean stuff. And, you know, the thought occurred to me. You fight fire with fire. It is time to just say, you know what? We're going to fight back like a Democrat and shove it in their face. Give them a healthy dose of what they do. If you see something that really is anti-Joe and mean, throw it out there. Let them choke on it. You know, because they're doing it all the time. Because
a perfect example of what you're talking about is when you watch the State of the Union. Those on the right, the conservatives, were told to be quiet and be respectful of President Biden.
They were.
On the other hand, you had the cheering section. It was like a high school rally. They were screaming, yelling, and just applauding everything that Biden could have taken a sip of water to clear his throat, and they would have applauded him for 30 seconds. It was just unbelievable. But there sat the... Other than Marjorie Taylor Greene, God bless her, the other Republicans sat there with their hands folded in their lap for the most part.
She didn't get that memo.
Yeah, it's true. God bless her.
If she did, she's got. I'll read this after the debate, you know, or after the speech. But
you made a very interesting. Oh, by the way, I should point this out, and I didn't mean to wait to the end of the show, but things are getting testy in the Ukraine. And, you know, we're hearing all about Gaza and Israel. By the way, Israel, in my opinion, we seem to have forgotten quickly, thanks to the left-leaning media, that it was Hamas and the terrorists from Gaza who flew in and killed all those innocent people who were just enjoying a weekend, okay? I mean, we forget that they were going to a concert, a music concert, that other families were having breakfast at their breakfast table in their own homes, minding their own business, and they were slaughtered and butchered by these animals. But suddenly, that's not the issue anymore. Now it's Gaza the issue. Now listen, it is. I hope to God that innocent people are protected in this terrible situation. But you have to understand something about this war. If there are innocent people in Gaza who are being injured or killed, it's because of Hamas. It's because of the fact that they have allowed this to continue. They could sit down and talk too. You know, talking peace is not a one-way street. They could both sit down and talk, but they're not doing it. They're not entertaining that. They want victory. They're throwing all of these food items and clothing and medical supplies, they're bringing that, and supposedly Hamas is stealing most of it for their troops.
You know, there's a lot of balls in the air, a lot of news out there. It's all deliberate because there's probably something more nefarious going on that we really don't know.
Well, the other
about.
Thing I was going to say was that the Russians are talking more and more about nuclear war, and they think that it may be Germany. Germany may be the instigator because Germany's talking about the possibility of using, what do they call it, limited-range nuclear weapons?
Low-yield nuclear, yeah.
I mean, there is no such thing.
A nuke is a nuke.
Yes.
And the land that it lands on and blows up is useless. Even if it's just a five-mile square area, it is useless.
Yep.
One thing that kind of backstep here to the January 6th, because I just saw it, there are photos that were leaked of what they're doing to the January 6th prisoners. Somebody actually took the photo of the guy locked in a closet
The cells are ridiculous. Yes.
No, this guy was locked in a closet, stripped down to his shorts. He's got a light bulb locked in there. There are no other facilities, and he's got a bucket. And I'm talking about a mop-your-floor bucket that he's allowed to crap in and tinkle in.
See,
that's
this
toilet.
This is
no toilet paper. This is
they don't do inhumane. They don't do that to prisoners of war, okay?
No. But no, if you're a right-leaner person they want to sit there and start going to the left, wants to incarcerate anybody that will not assimilate into the left. In other words, if you're MAGA and you can't be re-educated, and part of that re-education might be stuffed in a closet.
Well, you know, there
was
a time, I don't know if you remember this, where Hillary Clinton said, we may have to be taken to camps to be re-educated. She said that.
Don't think that she's not in on all this crap. So that's why I pointed out earlier, could you imagine had she won?
Well, the other thing we should also consider, what's happening right now in Haiti? There's a revolution going on. And what you're not hearing about this revolution in Haiti is that some people are saying the real reason behind this is the Clinton Foundation, which was based in Haiti. They were doing all of this illegal stuff, they believe, in Haiti, and this is just the end result of what they did. Do you know what I'm saying?
Let's not forget that the Clinton Foundation was the comeback for the Clintons when they were bankrupt from all the Whitewater scams and everything else that was going on. They sat there and they did everything they could to get donations, illegal stock deals, everything. And then the Clinton Foundation was born, and they're both rich. I mean, they are enormously rich.
I know.
From this. And
whatever happened to the money? Whatever happened to the money that was left in the foundation? Is it still in the foundation? Does the foundation exist anymore?
Well, Hillary's got two nice abodes, and so does Bill, because they don't really, they're married in name. That's about it.
Hey, listen, we could go on and on.
She really, I think she'd do better by dropping the Clinton name and just go to Hillary Rodham, but I think she'd just be better just to go to an old lady's home and...
I once ran for president, and I think I won.
Something's going on in Haiti. Just pay attention to Haiti. The president of Haiti, I believe he was traveling when this started, and he can't get back into the country. Maybe that's a good thing. I think he's in Puerto Rico. I could be wrong, but I think that's where he is right now.
There's a lot of hot spots, and things are going to start blowing up. And when they do, and I mean, when I say blowing up, I don't mean just intensifying. I mean, things are going to blow up. I really think that this is a powder keg. The match has been lit. The fuse has been lit.
And between now, do you think it'll intensify to the election? By the way, if Trump wins, and I hope he does, if Trump wins between the election and his inauguration, look out.
Well, here's a nasty thought. Here's a nasty thought. If between now and the election something happens to where they do the War Powers Act and they go, well, we're going to freeze everything, suspend everything, and that means that there won't be an election come the fall, that means that the Democrats can kind of do what they want, and then they will lock Trump up and do what they do to the January Sixers. He will go away so that when they sit there...
I don't think it'll be quite as easy as you think it might be. I was thinking about that over the weekend. I think there's an element in our country that says, wait a second, you just can't... That's a coup. You can call it the War Powers Act, but that's a coup. To take control of the country, I'm just saying.
Cuckoo-ca-choo, what do you think they're doing right now? Everything is rigged and fixed. If you step back and look at the entire picture as it unfolds and who the players are that are making everything happen and how they got there, you're going, they're casting their bet on you.
I think we have topics for tomorrow. And we could keep talking till tomorrow, but we can't.
I was going to talk till the sun goes down.
Our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com, and mail at jimandbill.com. And
And all these other dot coms.
You know, we're on platforms everywhere. You're going to find us on, what is it?
We're on Spotify. We're on Amazon. Yeah. We're on iTunes. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on, it just goes, the list goes on and on and on. It's amazing.
Podcast, originate out of Podbean. And also, we were on Rumble for a while. They, you know, didn't see anything happening there, so we kind of went away from it, but we jumped back on the platform. And, yeah, it seems like, you know, we're pretty well welcome there back, so you can look for us there.
If you're a fan of Rumble, look for us there. Yeah, you won't see. But it's still basically an audio show because we do know our limitations.
We'll probably do video down the road. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I don't know.
I looked at all the videos.
I have
there,
a face for radio,
and so you know, some of these people don't even have a face for radio. So I'm going like, you're in good. I think people are forgiving. Tell Jim that they don't care how we look. They just want to see who they're listening to.
That's right. That's a very good point. But see, I can't do the show. If we're doing a TV version of this, I can't do it in my pajamas.
You know? I know. I really wish that you would dress up.
I know.
Although, you know, I got a nice shirt
John,
on and
John
Cena,
you know, he went out on stage without any costume at all last night. So
this is all I'm wearing is a sheet of paper.
Oh, yeah, and you look marvelous. I don't know how you do these things.
Thank you very much.
Hey, listen, I think we've just about done it. I think we can wrap this thing up, and there's only one guy who can do it. With the oomph that he does it. Mr. Knight, so it's all yours.
You want me to do it?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do it. Hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.